Well, good morning.
I've always wanted to do that.
Well, I'm excited to be here joining you this morning. I'm excited to dive into God's Word with you. I'd like to welcome those of you that are Lakeline PM. Excited that you're joining us as well. I'm also excited because we have the opportunity this morning to celebrate the graduation of our high school seniors out of the ministry. Now, It's a somewhat of a sad time as I've walked through life with them as their middle school pastor and their high school pastor, but it's an exciting day because it's a beautiful picture of the older generation investing in the next generation. And these students have done an incredible job of taking what's been passed on to them through their faith, and they've taken it and they've run hard after God, and I'm so proud of them. Some of you might not know this, but I had the opportunity to also graduate from the student ministry here at Hill Country Bible Church. I had the opportunity to be a part of the Great Adventure 20 years ago. Wow, I'm getting old. And it was at that time, it was only 31 students that participated in the Great Adventure. We'll take over 500 students this year. And God is just doing an incredible work. It's been a fun ride to see God work in the lives of the students. It's been fun to be able to partner with adult leaders, partner with parents. I even had the opportunity to meet my bride through the student ministry. So students, you never know, could be sitting next to your future spouse. And through those years, it's been amazing because I've even had the opportunity to, I'll be careful how I say this, officiate the weddings of some former students. And I have to be hesitant how I say it because in my house, there's times I'll be dressed up in my suit and my kids will ask, "Where are you going, Daddy?" And my daughter will say, "You look handsome." I'm like, "Yes, I do." And she'll say, "You look handsome. Where are you going?" And often my wife and I will accidentally say, "Daddy's going to marry some folks." And you kind of get that look, like confused, like I thought. And it's like, yes, let me explain. But through that times, I've just seen my family be touched by the power of God. My whole wife's side of the family came to know Christ through this church. And we've seen how God's power has been demonstrated through his people. We've had the opportunity to see our lives be changed because of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. And I think about the opportunity to be a part of a church. Like I've been on staff for 11 years, all in student ministry. And it's been amazing to see how God demonstrates his power through his people and to be a part of a church that's intergenerational. I mean, we had the opportunity to be invested in by the older generation. Some of you even invested in me. That means you're getting old. And now my wife and I, we have the opportunity to invest in the next generation. And what a joy it's been. And this morning we have the opportunity to dive into God's Word. We're going to look at a passage that is just a beautiful example of two men who experience multi-generational relationship, and they experience the power of God being demonstrated through their life. You know, I've had the opportunity to introduce, I don't know if you saw the picture of my family, but my wife and my two kids, Caden and Bryn, and it's just a joy to see what God's already doing in their life, as each of them have trusted Christ as their Savior. And as parents, I get to invest in them. But let me ask you this question, a couple questions. Is there a time in your life, maybe even this morning, that you wonder, where's God? Right? You talk about experiencing the power of God, and maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, I've seen the power of God experienced in other people, and I just have the question, why am I not experiencing that? Or for some of you, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're asking the question, like, I feel like my relationship with God is more informational than relational. Because I really believe that God wants to allow us to experience his power and to see it demonstrated through his people. And I want y'all to go ahead and turn to 2 Kings Chapter 2, as we look at the life of Elijah and Elisha and their relationship. If you need a Bible, there's some on the sides of the room. And it says in verse 1, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Now we already see right here, something amazing is going to happen. Right? And let me tell you a little bit about the two men that are going on here. Elijah, you might know him. He's the guy that's known for doing a lot of miracles. He's a prophet, one of the major prophets, very famous. And when Israel was a divided kingdom, we see that they were dark, dark times. And God had said, hey, I need to draw people back to myself. And he sends Elijah to be his mouthpiece, to be his spokesperson. And we see what he goes through. He goes to King Ahab and says, you know what? It's not going to rain until my God tells me it's time to rain. And we see for 3.5 years, it doesn't rain. That's a long time. And during that time of drought, we see that God's power provides for Elijah in incredible, powerful ways, food and water. And then you might know Elijah for the fact that he's on Mount Carmel and he's going against toe-to-toe the prophets of Baal, right? And he's on Mount Carmel, and what does he do? He soaks the altar with water, and then he calls out to God, and he calls out fire from heaven. I mean, when you look at this guy's life, you see that later he goes on after that and he prays that it'll start raining. And what happens? It rains. I mean, you look at this guy's life and you go, that guy's legit. Right? I'd love to follow him. And Elisha, he's a guy that is going to be the successor of the ministry. He's somebody that we see that a lot of people would say that 10 years he walked side by side with Elijah. And he's going to be the one that takes on the ministry after Elijah is gone. So we pick up in verse 2 and it says, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied. But do not speak of it. Then Elisha said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. So right here, from knowing their relationship, walking side by side, they were walking shoulder by shoulder at this time, going from city to city. And from Gilgal to Bethel was 7 miles. From Bethel to Jericho was 11.5 miles. And from Jericho to Jordan was 6 miles. So you see, during this one day, they're traveling a lot. And through their time together, I want you guys to know you can experience the power of God when you invest in relationships. And we see that from these two individuals because of the investment that they made through one another, that they were able to experience the power of God. And I just think about what was it like as they're walking from location to location. Right, I could imagine that Elijah's probably saying, hey, this is our last time together. Let's talk about, reminisce some of the things that we did. And as they're at each location, I can even imagine Elijah's going, hey, Elisha, do you know what God did at this location? Do you know what he did at this location? And I would imagine that Elisha is going, wow, my God is amazing. And I think it's so important for us as the older generation to pass on God's faithfulness, how he's been faithful over the years. I think it's great for us to pass that on to the next generation, for us to remember that as well. And we see that happening. And I can imagine also, as they're going from location to location, I could see even Elisha going, wow, I got some big shoes to fill. I mean, I have seen how God has demonstrated his power through the life of Elijah. I've seen how he's demonstrated his power through the men that have gone before me. Is God going to do the same in my life? And I'd have to say, because his faith was in God, he could have confidence. And I just want to ask this question for you, older generation. If somebody was walking shoulder to shoulder with you for 10 years, what would they see? Like, you're going to impart something. What are you going to impart in their life? Would they see that your priorities are chasing after God? Would they see that your priorities are to seek first his kingdom? Would they see God's power demonstrated through your life? Parents, question for you. Do your kids see that? Do your kiddos see the power of God being demonstrated through your life? Do they see that you love God above all things? Because when I talk to students, here's one of the things they struggle with. They say, Ryan, I got so much pressure on me right now. And if I'm being honest, a lot of the pressure is from my parents. They want me to be successful. They want me to achieve, you know, great things at school and then also outside of school, extracurricular activities. And Ryan, when it comes to following hard after God, I just don't have time. Because my parents are asking so many big things of me other than being a man or woman of God. Or maybe it's not pressure that your students are experiencing from you. But maybe what's modeled to them is apathy. So when they see their parents' lives, instead of seeing a man or a woman that is following hard after God, instead of seeing a man or woman who's experiencing the power of God and it's being demonstrated through their life, they say, that'd be cool to see, but I don't see it in my parents, so I'm not interested in it. So they become apathetic. Because I want you guys to know what I believe is that what's attractive to the next generation is seeing the parents and seeing the older generation follow hard after God and experience the God of Elijah in their own life. That they would look at your life and go, I see the love that my parents, I see the love that the older generation has for God, and I've seen how God has demonstrated his power in and through them. And oh my goodness, I want that for my life. Because that's worth living for. And students, you've got a responsibility in this too. Because you can say, oh, the pressures of the world, but there are adults, there are parents, your parents that want to invest in you. But you opt out. And my challenge to you students is that you would be able to find wisdom and cling on to it. Someone that's in the older generation to say, I want to follow you as you follow the example of Christ. So we see the beautiful picture here of experiencing God's power when we invest in relationships. Verse 7 says, 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, he rolled it up, and he struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Did you catch that? I think here for a second that as they're going from city to city, these company of prophets, these are sons of prophets in each city, that Elijah's probably saying goodbye to them because it's his last day. It's people that he had invested in, educated men. They're following hard after God. And these guys, what we see happen is a couple of things. We see that Elijah gave Elisha three opportunities to stay behind. And every time he said, you're not getting rid of me. Not that easy. We also see these sons of prophets try to distract them and say, why are you hanging out with that old man? His time's come. Like, hang out with us. And what Elisha says is he says, be quiet. And I think it has less to do with the fact that he's sad and doesn't want to talk about it. And I think it has more to do with the fact that he's saying, you know where my place is? It's not with you. My place is with my leader. And I'm going to be with him to the end. And then we see, like, what's it going to take to separate them? It's going to take an act of God to separate them. That's what it's going to take. And then you look at this, I could just imagine what this would look like, right? You got these 50 men watching what's going down. And they're like, it's going to be great. They're at the Jordan River. It's closed. Are they going to swim across? Are they going to make a boat? What are they going to do? And I can imagine they're like, get your popcorn. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see what happens. And what do we see Elijah do? We see Elijah take his cloak, his mantle, his outer garment, and he takes it off. He rolls it up. And I could imagine that he's probably standing there and he's got his little, you know, getting his little thing going on. And he's like, all right, here we go. I'm ready. Boom! And what happens? The Jordan River's divided. And I think Elisha's probably going, I've heard stories about this on the felt board. Okay, probably not the felt board. But like, I've heard stories about this. Like, I've heard stories about Joshua crossing this exact river when he led God's people into the promised land. Like, I've heard stories about this. And guess what I'm doing? I'm walking on solid ground, the ground at the bottom of the river. Right? Mind blowing. I can't imagine that I'm experiencing this. God is so good. And I think about just also when these guys are watching what's going on, you've got to understand what's going through their mind. So we see also in verse 9, when they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken away? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. See, I think that the beautiful picture here is Elijah got it. I mean, think about this, older generation. When your time has come to go home, and the Lord takes you home, will there be someone to take your place? Will there be someone to take your place? Because I think Elijah and Elisha got that. And you even see to the very end, Elijah's being very intentional with his time. He's being very selfless. He understands that his ministry is coming to an end and he's got to pass on God's ministry to someone else. So what does Elisha ask for? A double portion of his spirit. Like what? What is that? Double portion, simply from the Old Testament, we see that when a father was, time had come and the Lord had called him home, that a double inheritance was given to the oldest son to be able to take care of the family. In the same way, I'm also reminded about an opportunity I had to go on a cruise once, and my favorite thing to do on a cruise is eat. You get to do plenty of it. And I remember the time when I sat down the first time and the waiter came up and he asked everybody what they wanted, and they asked me, Mr. Shoemaker, what would you like? And I said, I'd like an appetizer. Would you like the steak or the chicken? And I said, both? Yes, that's fine. Got me a dessert. Then they moved on to my wife and they asked my wife, what would you like? And she got her appetizer, she got her chicken, and then she got her dessert. And then I kind of raised my hand and I say, can I have her steak? Yes, Mr. Shoemaker. Double portion, mine and hers. And what I see, though, is I see Elisha, what he's hungry for, the appetite that he has is he has an appetite and hunger for the God of Elijah. And he's saying, I am not satisfied. I want more of God. I want to be the one that represents God to my generation. I want it to be me. The power that I see God demonstrating in your life, I want that for my life. Please give it to me. And it's difficult for Elisha to give it to him because Elisha can't give that to him. That's got to be something that comes from God. But if you see me taken up into heaven, then it's going to be yours. I'm confident of that. And my question is for you. Do you have that same desire? Because if I'm being honest, there's times when I'm satisfied with where I am in my walk with the Lord. And my prayer is that I would never get satisfied. I would always want more of him and more of his power to be demonstrated through me. And you might say, Ryan, that's pretty arrogant of Elijah to ask for that, to be the one. And for us to even say, like, God, do amazing things through my life. But here's the thing. Elisha wasn't all about making his name great. He was about making God's name great. We also know that in the New Testament in Mark, when the disciples are fighting over who's the greatest, what does Jesus do? He doesn't rebuke them, but instead he says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, I'll tell you. It's just a lot different than the world's. You got to be a servant of all, is what he tells them. And then we see the fact that the enemy would probably love for us to settle for a life of mediocrity. He'd want us to believe that lie. But I just want to remind you this. Low expectations for my life is having low expectations for my God. And my God is so big, and he wants to demonstrate his power through his people. So we see that we can experience the power of God when we ask for it. Because sometimes I believe we do not receive because we do not ask. Would we be people that ask for more of God? Would we be people that ask for more of his power to be demonstrated through us? Verse 11, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and of horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and he cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them apart. Can you believe that scene? I mean, to imagine you're walking suddenly and it's quiet. And then out of nowhere, you hear these thundering hooves of horses shaking the ground. And you turn around and you don't just see horses, you don't just see a chariot, but it's on fire. And I can imagine he gets knocked over, and that's what it took to separate the two of them. And as they're separated, I can imagine Elisha's kind of getting his bearings, and as he's getting his bearings, like, what's going on? He sees this whirlwind. And as he sees this whirlwind, he sees Elijah get picked up on it, and he's going on a ride. He's getting sick, right? He's going around. And then all of a sudden, it's quiet. And I'd like to think that you maybe hear a small sound of a thump. And what is it? It's the only thing that's left of Elijah. Verse 13, he picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and he struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Imagine the scene. The 50 guys are still watching. They're still watching what's going on, and they're just like, I can't believe this is happening, right? I imagine Elisha's like, whoo, good thing I didn't blink when that happened, right? So I got the double portion, right? Is that what happened? He had a choice to make right there. He stands up, and what does he do? He walks on over. He picks up the cloak. And then what does he do? He follows the exact example of his leader. He does exactly what his leader did. He took the cloak and he hit the water because now the water has closed. He's on the other side of the Jordan. He's got to get back on the other side of the Jordan. We see it get separated again and he walks across. I mean, how about that for your walk home that day? How was your day? How was your day? Whoa, you'll never believe what I did. Crossed the Jordan on ground twice, right? Oh, and then if that's not enough, saw a chariot and a horse on fire. And then Elijah, by the way, yeah, he went up in a whirlwind. He didn't die, taken up to heaven straight like that. Like, that's the power of God. And we can see that we can experience the power of God when we walk by faith. Because you look at Elisha, and he didn't have to pick up the cloak, but he picked up the cloak and he said, now's my time. Now's my time to carry on what's been passed on to me. And then he takes that cloak and he says, I got to get back over. I got to get back over. And he walks over. What does he do? He has to have faith that when I do exactly what my leader did and I hit the water, it's going to open. So what's he do? He hits the water, it opens up, and he's like, oh, yeah. And then what does he have to do now? He has to walk through the water. It's faith, because it was one thing to walk through the water on the Jordan ground with Elijah, but it took a whole nother step of faith to walk through by yourself. But here's the deal. When you trust and worship and you follow the God of Elijah, you don't need Elijah. And some of y'all might say, like, Ryan, that's an awesome story, but God can't do that through me. I'm not Elijah. I'm not Elisha. Let me remind you what Scripture says about Elijah. In James 5, it tells us this. It tells us that Elijah is just like us, just a man. We even see in 1 Kings, we also understand that he got to a point where he was even depressed, even to the point of considering taking his life. He's just a man. And I want to be y'all the guys to be encouraged, because the power was not in the man. The power was not in the mantle. The power was in God. That's where the power was at. And let me just tell you a truth. That same God is the God that I worship. The God of Elijah. That same Spirit, I'm promised in God's word, as someone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, I'm promised to inherit the Holy Spirit that lives within me. God wants to demonstrate his power in and through you guys. He wants to do it. If you're willing to allow him to do it, if you're willing to ask for it and walk in obedience and faith. I want to give you guys an opportunity to see a real life example of when one generation invests in the next generation and passes on the mantle. I want to invite up here Wagner and Joel. And Wagner is a man that serves in our student ministry. He is a man that has a wife and kiddos. And we have the opportunity to hear a little bit about his relationship with Joel. Joel is graduating from our ministry, graduating from McNeil High School. So, gentlemen, thanks for being up here. Wagner, it's an awesome name. I just like to say it. Tell us a little bit about how you even got into the ministry.
Well, I told you, you know, several years when we talk about joining the ministry, I gave you my reason. So I have two daughters, and I need to have a better perception about the landscape. Knowing better my competition, so I joined as a leader.
A leader, that's great. Guys, right? That's great.
No, seriously, the reason why I joined was to serve them, to build up knowledge and experience of the Lord in a way that they not only keep their faith, but they expand their faith, and being functional on expanding the kingdom. So I joined to serve them, and a few years ago I challenged them with a more intense or deep discipleship, and a kind of one-on-one that we would not get together just to discuss life, but we'll require some readings and some deep thoughts, and this is what we decided to do. And Joe was the one that decided to go for it.
That's great. How have you been blessed by your relationship of investing in the next generation, specifically Joel?
Well, so when you see someone like Joel taking the discipleship and the cost of discipleship that it requires, you are challenged to be intentional on serving the kingdom, serving them. So I got to tell you that when I look to their lives and I want to see these guys, my daughters, following Jesus Christ and committed with the kingdom and being able to build up the kingdom, this is what challenges me, and this is what enriches my spiritual life.
That's awesome. And tell me a little bit about how you've seen the power of God through this relationship of investing in the next generation.
So what I see on Joel's life is that willing to serve the kingdom and expand the gospel, and actually this is what happened. So he starts sharing the gospel, and His friends start coming to our discipleship group. And some of them, they came to Christ. And they wow. And so that's how the church grows. That's how the faith grows. So with that, I was absolutely blessed with this experience on watching Joe and walking with him shoulder to shoulder, actually more head to shoulder. So I've been blessed with that.
I feel your pain. I feel it. That's great, Wagner. Thank you, my friend. Joel, so tell me, why do you hang out with this old dude?
I think there's something really just drawing about not only his wisdom and the fact that he models how to be a man, but the fact that he models how to be a man following Christ, and just that light that kind of shines through his whole life and the way that he's a husband and the way that he's a father and the way that he interacts with the guys in the D group, that's something that's very powerful, and it's attractive to me to look at that and want to think, like, this is what I want to be. This is, if I can be a measure of that, you know, when I get to be that age, then that's success. That's,
you know. That's good. How have you been blessed?
A lot of
trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard to express. but it's just, you know, he's constantly been that rock in my life for the past 5-6 years, who's been, you know, spurring me on and convicting me. You know, our dear verse is Proverbs 27:17, which is, mm-hmm. as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And in my life, he's been that iron that sharpened me and pushed me on, saying, like, okay, this is what you've read in the Word. Now go out and do it and live that in your life, which has been really encouraging.
That's awesome. And how have you experienced the power of God because of his investment?
Like you kind of said earlier, you know, there are some people at my school who I was able to reach out to and to share the gospel with, and they actually came to faith, which was an amazing thing to see. And being bold in my faith like that, that wasn't something that I just decided to do. It was something that was modeled for me. And mm-hmm. being able to watch him do that same thing and to be able to see, like, this is what it means to go out and to battle for the kingdom, that's just, he's blessed me in that. And I attribute the, you know, the people who are now in Christ, that's eternal significance, and I attribute that to him. So
it's awesome. And finally, have you experienced the power of God specifically with your friends?
I mean, I guess it's just, you know, being able to watch the things that he's poured into me and being able to have that overflow into their lives as well, and to watch them kind of grasp the same Christ and the same gospel that he's led me to grasp, and to just watch that happen, it's amazing, and I'm so glad that I was able to experience that. I think that's something that everyone should have the chance and the wherewithal to go out and do.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so proud of you guys. I love you guys. And thank you for your investment in one another in the kingdom. That's just one example. I could sit up here for another 3 hours. Y'all want me to? Oh, no. I can tell story after story of what God's doing in the lives of students to make an impact for his kingdom. I could stand up here and tell you about relationships of the older generation investing in the next generation. We actually have close to 1,000 students between middle school and high school over the course of our 3 campuses that are being invested in by the next generation. We have over about 150 adult volunteers that are saying, I want to pass the mantle onto that generation. And you might be sitting here this morning and say, like, Ryan, I want to experience the power of God. Tell me how I can do it. You don't have to be a small group leader in high school ministry. You can do it through mentoring someone. You can do it as a children's ministry worker. You can do it as being involved in other areas in student ministry. You can do it as a backyard Bible club host or driver. And there's plenty of opportunities. And God is saying, I want to use you. And let us help you find how you can get connected. Because God wants to demonstrate his power in and through you. Not for your name, but for his name. And there's nothing like it when you experience that. And here's the thing. God's not asking you to do anything he hasn't already done through others. And just think about Elisha at the end, thinking about how people had said, just stay here, just stay here. You got to imagine he's saying what? You wanted me to stay? Are you kidding me and miss out on this? No way. So imagine if we invested in relationships like Elijah and Elisha. Imagine if we anticipated the presence of God and his spirit. We prayed like Elijah. Imagine if we walked by faith in obedience to our Father and we said, we want more of you. Imagine the impact it'd have in your life and your family's life, on your campus, in your neighborhood, in the city, in the world. Because God is saying, I want you to experience my power. I want you to be able to see my power demonstrated through you, because there's nothing like it. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do in and through you guys as we anticipate him to show up in big ways. So at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to the folks at Lakeline PM. And at this location, what I want to do is I want to invite our graduating seniors. And our graduating seniors are going to come up on stage and we're going to celebrate them as they go to new horizons. Just like we saw Elisha have to walk through the water alone, these guys are having to step out in faith. They're having to step out into new beginnings, just like it was a new era. E-R-A, not error, E-R-R-O-R. It's my New Orleans accent. But being able to see them walk in faith into something new and to see what God is going to do in and through them. And I just want to take a moment, students, to just tell you that it has been a true joy to be many of you guys, your middle school pastor and your high school pastor, the opportunity to be able to see you guys take what's been passed on to you and run with it. And I want you guys to know that you have left a mark on the ministry. That you guys are leaving a legacy. That you guys are worth following after. Not because of who you are, but because of who your God is. And my desire is that you guys would continue to run hard after him. That you guys would continue to fight the good fight. That you would desire more of him as you invest in relationships or people going where God is going. And what I want to do is I want to ask any students that are in the service right now, they're 6th grade through 11th grade, to come on up here and kind of hang out on the stage, on the stairs, and all up front. And as these students are walking up, I just want us to have a visual, right? I want us to have a visual of what it looks like for one generation to pass on to the other generation. And I want these students to see, these high school seniors to see, that guys, y'all have done a great job setting the example for these younger students. You've done a great job of saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I want you guys to get an understanding of the next generation is ready to step up and to serve. That they're ready to say, Lord, here I am, use me. And my encouragement for you would be that you would say, I want to be an Elijah. That you would be able to say, I want to make an impact in my life. I want my life to count for something more than the world would say to count it for. That you would have hope in the next generation. That you would be able to say, I'm excited to follow these students. To give my younger kids to them and trust them as they're following after God. And students that are walking in, as they're walking in, I want you as the younger generation to recognize that these seniors are stepping out of the ministry. And as these students are stepping out of the ministry, I'm looking to you. The younger generation is looking to you to be able to say, someone's got to take the mantle. Someone's got to take the mantle. Would you say, here I am, God, use me. I want to be the one. God's going to continue to do great things in your life, seniors. And I'm anticipating God to move in mighty ways. And I look forward with eagerness and anticipation to see what he's going to do in your life for his kingdom. And students that are here that are not graduating yet, we're excited to see what God's going to continue to do in y'all. Would y'all take what the older generation has given to you and you move forward with that? So I just want to pray for you guys that God would continue to move in mighty ways for his name. Lord, we love you. We come to you now and we just ask. We cry out to a God that hears our prayers, a God that answers our prayers. And I just pray blessing and favor on these seniors as they graduate, that they would know that there's a God that is for them. There's a God that loves them. There's a God that has prepared in advance good works for them. Lord, that you would just allow them to understand that nothing satisfies like God. That they would continue to chase after finding an Elijah when they go to their next step, Lord. That they invest in relationships and they would walk in faith with you. And they would know that I'm proud of them. The church is proud of them. But you as Heavenly Father are for them and are proud of them. And for these other students, I pray, Lord, that they would step out in faith and that they would be excited to say, I want to follow in the footsteps of these students and God to do great things in my life. And for the older generation, that they would say, I do not want to be taken out of the game yet, God, because I want to make sure there's an Elisha to take my spot. Because we would never retire from ministry. I pray, Lord, that we would recognize that you're a good God and we'd anticipate your greatness for your name, Lord. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen.